Very grateful to God for His mercy and kindness upon us, visiting our gathering with His manifest presence. For what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you choose to visit him? We're grateful. When we were not presumptuous, we do not take it for granted, Father. We're exceedingly grateful. As we enter your word, Father, if your presence doesn't go with us, we won't leave here. We will enter only this word with your presence. This same presence has been with us. We ask now that you let it go with us as we enter your word. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand. Pray for fresh anointing and unction upon me, so that indeed I will speak as I should, as an oracle of God. We further pray the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everyone you will cause to listen to me. Those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing wills to be more humble, our wills to be more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation, fresh, increasing revelation knowledge, and emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray, Lord, as I speak, that the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great measure to follow these words and back them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, yes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things which they hear and not hearers only. Further pray for mercy to be faithful as I deliver the word, that indeed I will do it, Lord God, with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life agreed and said, I have a prophetic landmark message I want to deliver to the church today. And that's not just scripture pasture, but the church, as God has given us the privilege through technology to be able to transmit to the whole world. So people are listening to me wherever. There are people that are listening to us that we don't even know. And so I have entitled this Individually Inheriting the Double Glory. Individually Inheriting the Double Glory. In the last 2 years or so, 2.5, ever since the time of the blood moons, which was 2014, 15, 16, and up till now, all the signs concerning the coming of the Lord have been fulfilled. The last one we're expecting now is the actual appearing of the Lord in the church, not the rapture. The rapture will still come later, but the glory of God appearing in the church. Indeed, it is imminent. Now, something the Lord Jesus did when he was on earth, and I am just copying his example, is that he taught prophetically. That is, he would teach about things that are going to come in the immediate future. In particular, he taught about eating his flesh and drinking his blood at a time when he hadn't even died. He taught it about 2 or 3 years before he he died, and then he instituted the Last Supper the evening before he was arrested, that evening when he was arrested, and then he was crucified the next day. Now, the people did not actually start, you know, taking the communion until after the day of Pentecost. So he taught it like 2 or 3 years ahead of when the fulfillment and the practice would actually begin. In exactly the same way, we prophetic teachers, by the grace and the mercy of God, we teach prophetically about what the purposes of God that are in the immediate future, so that the people of God will be prepared and therefore will prosper in those purposes when the time of fulfillment and manifestation come. So that's what we are doing, and that's what I am doing now. This is that's why I call it a prophetic landmark message. A landmark is something you will come across on a journey to a particular place. For instance, if you're going from Lagos to Ibadan, you will pass, and you're going on the expressway, you know, you will pass through the Sagamu Exchange. That place is a landmark. You will, if you're going to Lagos, you will pass through there. In exactly the same way, if you're going into this journey of entering the perfection and the manifestation of the fullness of God, this is a place where you will pass. This issue of individually, and that puts a little spin on it, that's a little bit different from what we've heard hitherto. Individually inheriting the double glory. It is the will of God that in this end time generation, there will be individuals, boys and girls, men and women, old men, young men, God makes no distinction, you know, who will inherit the double glory of God and will manifest it to the consternation of the world. And on the other hand, positively, to the admiration of the world. And it will draw a significant number of people to the church. Sadly, you know, and regrettably, it will not draw everybody. Now, that's not because God doesn't want it. It's because, you know, the people, people's hearts, you see, no matter the degree of the glory of God that is made manifest, God will not override man's free will. So men will, some men will look at it and say, I don't want it. I don't understand that personally, but you know, it will happen. It happened in the time of Jesus, you know, it happened in the time of the prophets, you know, no matter the glory of God, no matter what God did, no matter the wonderful miracles. In fact, it says this in the ministry of Jesus, he said, though he had done so many miracles before them, he said, yet they did not believe. That it might be fulfilled, just spoken by Isaiah the prophet, that, you know, seeing they will not see, that he has given them a heart of slumber, you know, hardness of heart. It's not God who gave it, it's the devil, you know, but they didn't do anything about it to get rid of it. Now, talking about that, you know, you must understand this truth. It is your responsibility to what you do with your free will. Now, God will help you and back it with his power. The Bible says he works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. That does not mean he overrides our will. It means that when you tell God, please God help me, I want to do this, I'm willing, then God will. He will back your will and he will strengthen your will. I remember that, you know, as a young Christian, or even before I became a Christian, I had a problem, you know, with discipline, in the sense of staying with something, being resolute about things. You know, when I became a Christian, and I knew that scripture, this Philippians 2:13, I asked God to help in that area, and amazingly I changed. I became somebody who's very determined, you know, resolute. If I tell God I want to do something, by his mercy and grace, I'm able to stay the course. Some of these things I've been practicing for years, 30 years, 37 years, you know, and I can say to the glory of God, you know, I have been consistent. I haven't wavered, you know. Now, that's not me in myself. My natural Olubi would not do that. I would have wavered off long ago if I didn't see anything, you know. But God has helped me. And that same God is available to help every one of us. And so I want to talk today about inheriting the double glory. It is just ahead of us. It is just ahead of us. I don't know the exact day or the hour, but we are in the time and the season. I will not bother again going through the signs. I've done this recently many, many times. But all the blood moons, the signs in the heavens, the signs in the stars, you know, distress of nations, the sea and the waves. It's happening as I'm speaking in America. There was an eclipse all over America, which has happened in that last 99 years that just happened, and everything and the distress of nations is happening as we speak with North Korea and Russia and America with Donald Trump. So everything is set. The gross darkness, the moral darkness. So the thing that we are waiting for now, the Bible says, but the Lord shall rise upon thee and his glory shall be seen upon thee. So that is the next thing, if we can say this, or the timetable. So we need to be prepared for it. What you are not prepared for, what you don't know about, what you are ignorant of, what you don't have faith for, you will not partake of. That's why God has sent people like me and others, you know, to come and be like a messenger. That's what a prophet is, and an apostle, you know, is a messenger to proclaim, to begin to declare to the church what is ahead, what God has in store for his people, and not only that, what they ought to do in order to be partakers of this great largesse, this wonderful blessing and inheritance that God has stored for his people for the end time. I'm going to say one more thing just before I go into what I would call the meat of the message. And it is this. This generation is a special generation. Pastor Andrew and the choir sang about who shall declare his generation. Let me just throw something out to you. You know, I actually read about this about around the time my wife got born again. It was 1983. I met my wife around June, July. We got engaged somewhere in September. That September, I still remember, we went to Ilorin. Myself, my wife, Wale Adekoya, my friend Cote d'Ivoire, Fred Adegoke, Friday Beki, and some of the leaders of the church at that time, you know. And Wale Oke was having a Holy Ghost convention, you know, in Ilorin. And we all went, you know. My wife was there. In fact, it was in that meeting we prayed for David Oedipo when he was going to go and start his church in Kaduna. All of us got around, you know, laid hands and we prayed for him. You know, my wife was just a relatively young Christian, but I still remember her telling me, said, honey, what was the fire coming out of the people's mouth when they were praying? I said, it's the glory of God. You know, she could see it, you know. And she was telling, you know, and she would say, ah, honey, what's that? I said, well, you know, it's the power of God. You know, it's the power of God. You know, and we had this wonderful meeting. In that meeting, there was a great prophecy. I think it came through Friday Beki, that there was a generation that was coming that would manifest, you know, I can't tell you all the details because of time, you know, that will manifest the glory of God, a generation, and that generation was this generation. Now watch this. If you go into, I don't have the time to go into the detail, I'll just drop it. You can go and do the homework. Trust me, it's correct. I read about this 42nd generation. If you look at the genealogy of Jesus, you will see it says that from, you know, Adam to this 14 generations, then from, I can't remember, you know, from Abraham to the 14 generations, and then from carrying away of Babylon to Jesus was 14 generations. How many is that? 42. But count, you get 41. It's not 42. Because the last generation is slated for the end time. You see, Jesus didn't have children because, of course, he wasn't married. You know, he didn't come here to do that. He didn't have any physical children. But there was going to be a generation of children that would be exactly like him. That is why he said he's cut off from the land of the living.
He's dead, but he didn't have children. He said, who shall declare his generation? There will be people.
And David Ingalls sang this song about 1979. You know, the choir song, it says, I will say, let's step right up and say, here I am. Lord, send me. And you can find this all over the Psalms. It says, a seed shall serve him, and it shall be accounted unto the Lord for what? A generation. Exactly. The Christ, the 42nd generation. The last verse. Thank you. Hallelujah. I didn't even know they had this. Start in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 1. And keep in mind that Jeconiah was number 14 in the last group. So you have Shealtiel, number 1. Zerubbabel is 2. Thank you for getting this. You know, Abiud is 3. Eliakim is 4. And then, etc., etc. Then Joseph is 12. And Jesus is 13. Yes, you counted correctly. The Christ is the 42nd generation. That's you and I. Give the Lord a clap of praise. It is the destiny of this generation to inherit the double glory.
Hallelujah.
May God make you take it seriously. May God make you worthy to count yourself worthy. I'll say one more thing. I was reading my Bible, my normal... Incidentally, I read my Bible every day. I don't just tell you to do it, I practice it. So in my Bible reading, I think it was today or yesterday, you know, I read Jeremiah. And he said, the Lord said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Watch this. And I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. Now, do you know, ordinarily you think, Jeremiah is such a blessed guy. I wish God said that about me. He has. Now, let me tell you your own. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Nobody here is an accident. This generation, from 1900, 1948, many of us who were born, you know, in the last century, into this century, and even those who've been born after, this generation spans about 100 years. Anybody that is born in this generation can be a part of this generation. But it depends on what you do with it. Now, let's define a few terms. I'm going to hit these things running. And these are things, many things you already know, you know. So things that we're familiar with, I'll just gloss over and move on. And then other things that the Lord wants me to emphasize, I will. What is meant by double glory? The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here, he said something amazing. Actually, Pastor G, Mummy, unbelievable. To his disciples. It's a thing I have meditated on for years. Still, it still marvels me. I believe it now. You know, he said, the works that I do. He said, you will do and greater works. I said, what can be greater than what Jesus did? The Lord gave me this understanding some years ago. I've preached it here. See, the Lord Jesus is, the miracles that God did through the Lord Jesus were primarily physical miracles. They were miracles of healing, of deliverance, of raising from the dead. A little bit of, you know, walking on water, stopping the storm. But basically that's it. But there's another set of miracles that he didn't manifest. He deliberately kept it for this generation. Intellectual miracles. You see, there's going to be, we've preached on this, the manifestation of the life of God inside the physical body.
But there's also going to be a manifestation of the life of God inside the soul. The mind, the will, and the emotions that men have never seen before. On Wednesday, during the School of the Spirit, I touched on this, and I'm going to do it again today for the benefit of those who were not here on Wednesday, especially because of the Life for Children, you know, and some people who were not around on Wednesday, and probably you haven't taken the time to go and listen. You see, God is not only going to give us physical miracles, He's going to give us intellectual, I use that expression, He's going to give us miracles of the mind. Hallelujah. That the world has never seen anything like it. And in order to make, to let us know that it will be real, He gave a small sample to Solomon. Like Pastor Boyka said on Wednesday, Solomon entered at the entry level. Solomon is not the full thing. He's the borrowed anointing. And like my brother just said here, that's why he said a greater than Solomon is here. Now let's, what did God give Solomon? Look at 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 29. 1 Kings, thank you. And God gave Solomon.
I didn't hear you.
There's some people who are talking unbelief here. Now, put your name there. And God gave Sarah. And God gave Kule. And God gave Boyega. And God gave Tunji. And God gave Shalakwe. Yeah, Wale. And God gave Wale. Wale said, Pastor, you skip. And God gave. Everybody say, and God gave. And God gave. And God gave. And God gave. And God gave Solomon. And God gave Olubi. And God gave Gloria. I want to blow your mind. It needs to be blown. There's a song we used to sing, Pastor Larry. I have made you too small in mine eye. Oh Lord, please forgive me. And I have believed in a lie that you were unable to help me, but now I look, I see my wrong. Heal my heart and show yourself strong. That is true of all of us. God gave Solomon. I'm going to blow your mind. Wisdom and understanding exceeding much. And largeness of heart. The King James doesn't say it. He's talking about an incredible mental capacity. We deduce this from Adam, but this one is not a deduction. It's in black and white. Exceeding much, larger, even as the sand that is on the seashore. Those of us who are into computers understand, incidentally, he used sand, which is silicon, which is what we now use for computer chips. So the Holy Ghost knew about silicon long ago. Check it out. That's free of charge. Hallelujah. Oh! Take a handful of sand.
from the beach and try and count the grains. It's an impossible task. Then consider a whole beach. And that now is representative of your mental capacity. And God gave. Like the sand on the seashore, breadth of mind, mental capacity and sagacity. The world hasn't seen anything yet. You see, that's why they don't respect us. He said, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But when he appears, we shall see him as he is, for we shall be like him. Someone said, that will happen when we get to heaven. No, he says, as he is, so are we in this world. Give the Lord a clap offering. Because of time, I'm just going to hit some scriptures glancingly. You go to Isaiah 61. He says, and you shall inherit the double. This is what he's talking about. I don't know how many of us know Isaiah 61. Thank you, darling. For your shame. You know the church has been shamed. I was talking to Pastor Larry and Dr. Williams yesterday. Say, look at the church. You see these people in India, China, that's what's happening to us. I told you some years ago, I preached on Something on the Mind, a book written by a theoretical physicist, Japanese guy. He's American, but Japanese American, you know, on the future of the mind. And there was a guy called Rajamajan or something like that, I can't remember his name, some Indian guy who came to Cambridge in the 1920s from somewhere in India. You know, his equations are still a mystery till today in mathematics. You know, I was telling Kunle Tunde Aboyade the other day, you know, he's helping the children in Lyford, you know, with their maths and all that, which is a great thing. I said Tunde, it's called elementary mathematics. I said, there, so mathematics, you don't even want to go near, give you a headache. You know, those of us who are in higher mathematics, who've done mathematics at university postgraduate level, they will have higher dimensional maths. You know, you're dealing with two dimensions, three dimensions. Let's start looking at multidimensional. But the point is this, because I don't want to get off my point. Do you understand? There is a degree of knowledge. So this Indian guy, he's recorded. He said that the way he knew those equations are that something will come to him in the night with six hands. Have you seen them? Three on this side and three on that side. You see them all over, you know. You know. And he said he will show him those equations. You can't fight that in the natural. There is no amount of reading you will read. There is no amount of books you will read, because he's getting it by revelation. The only way we can beat them is to get it from a higher revelation. Give the Lord a clap offering. The world is getting it more efficiently from the devil than the church is getting it from the God. So we're behind the curve, but we're about to overtake. Glory be to God. I said, we're about to overtake. For God gave. God's about to give you breath of mind. Now, let's get back to Solomon. Verse 30. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East Country, those who get it from these guys with six hands. Hmm.
and all the wisdom of Egypt. That's all the wisdom of the whole world. Egypt is a type of the whole world. We ain't through yet. Next verse. For he was wiser than all men. And you know the Bible does not exaggerate. You see, God was just showing a sample of what he can do with his people if they will let him. He than Ethan the Ezrite, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Dada, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all nations round about. How many people here know Ethan? Have you heard of him before? Or Heman? They were all the big men in the time of Solomon. But they're dead now. Nobody knows about them. But say Solomon anywhere. It is the one that God gives that lasts. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, I got to blow your mind. You know what? Solomon was not born again. He wasn't born again. This thing that we are all saying, is lower than what you are going to get. That's why Jesus said, a greater than Solomon is here. A better covenant established upon better promises. If this was given in the Old Testament, what will God give in the New? You know the answer? Eye has not seen. Ear has not. Neither has it entered into the heart of man. The things, these things that God has prepared for them that love him. Don't you never say it was prepared for me? From my mother's womb, God knew me, separated me, and ordained me to be conformed to the image of Jesus. That's my destiny, and I will not miss it. In Jesus' name, give yourself a clap offering. Yeah. Hallelujah. God gave. There's another God gave. It's in the book of Daniel. And for these four children, give it to me. Daniel 1:17. It's the same God gave. As for these four children, all children here, anybody here who is under 30, put your hand up. And if you are over 30, put your hand up. You are children of God. Thank you, Colette. As for these children, I'm giving you a prophetic blessing. As for put life up, children, put your hand up. Stand up. Life up, children. If you are over 30, sit down, but let your hand be up. If you are under 30, stand up and put that hand up. If you are under 30, stand up. If you are over 30, sit down and put your hand up. I'm seeing all this over 30 standing up. Stand up. Of a G blessing. Praise the Lord. As for these children, God gave them. It's part of the blessings of the Feast of Tabernacles and the glory of God. God will give you. God is giving you knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. Who's giving you? God. Receive it. Sit down. Okay, sit down. Put your hand up. Don't let Satan shortchange you. This is what is ahead of us. A mental capacity that is outstanding. When I preached it some years ago,
I use the what do we call that thing that helps you to remember things? Mnemonic. Plan. Everybody say photographic, language learning, artistic, musical, mathematical abilities that are outstanding. The season, the time has come. It's going to come with the glory. Because it's going to be double. It will manifest in the flesh, and then it will be manifest in the soul. That's why I say double glory. Hallelujah. That's just the introduction. This glory is going to attract world attention. Isaiah 60, quickly go there. And verses 1 to 3. I've preached on this recently. See, Isaiah 60 here actually speaks prophetically of the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's why it's called the Feast of Ingathering. It says, arise, shine. I didn't hear you. For thy light is come. I'm going to show you what that light is in a minute. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Verse 2. For behold, means look and see, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Turn to your neighbor and say, fulfilled. We're in time, that time now. That's, you don't even have to be a prophet to know that. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Touch your neighbor, about to be fulfilled. And I am placing myself, I am positioning myself to be a part of that. Verse 3. And the Gentiles, put nations, and the nations shall come to thy light. Okay, let's finish it. And kings to the brightness of thy rising. What happened in Solomon's time? Warring Kotori. They saw what they hadn't seen before. The Bible says people came from all the earth to come and hear the wisdom of Solomon. That's what he's talking about here. The nations will come. I say, ah, which one is this one? To thy light, and kings, leaders of nations. Like Pastor Boyka said jokingly on Wednesday, he said, what will bring Putin to Ibadan? Talking jokingly, but you know, yeah. What will bring such people to some obscure place on the earth? The glory of God. The Queen of Sheba left her town, traveled only on how many hundreds of miles with camel on horseback and all of that, came to Jerusalem. She had heard when she got there, and she saw Solomon's court, saw the throne, saw his servants, saw the way they were serving the food, heard the, oh, she said, they asked him hard riddles. He said there was not one Solomon did not solve. He said there was no more spirit left in her. Okay, faint. With her, you know what she said? The half was not yet told. It will be more in this generation. Now, there's a part of this that is very important. God have mercy and help me. This double glory is a fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. It is the glory of the Feast of Tabernacles. There are three major Jewish feasts that typify our Christian growth and experience. Two, everybody is very familiar with. Passover typifies our born-again experience. Tick. Everybody say tick.
Pentecost typifies our experience of baptism, Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, first fruits. Everybody say, tick. But there's a third feast. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. That one hasn't been ticked. That's the one that's about to be ticked. Now, there is a big difference in the operation of tabernacles vis-a-vis Passover and Pentecost. Passover and Pentecost were given as gifts. Get born again. It's a gift. Holy Spirit, tongues, is a gift. These two gifts are supposed to now be used for spiritual growth to inherit the reward of tabernacles. Tabernacles is not a gift. It's a reward. And just like Passover was fulfilled the day Jesus was hung on the cross, the first person that got born again was John. When he went to the tomb and looked, the Bible says he saw and he believed. This was on Sunday, what's called Easter Sunday. Mary Magdalene came and she also believed. Jesus appeared to her and said, "Don't touch me, don't touch me, don't touch me." Jesus went to heaven, came back, you know, came back in the evening. Then he went, saw the 12, you know, they were all afraid and everything, you know, and then he got angry with them when they didn't believe Mary Magdalene after she had told them and everything. He upbraided them and said, "See, it's me. See my hands, you know. Eat honeycomb and fish," and you know, and they were all, you know, they were all very happy and they believed. And then the Bible says he breathed on them. He said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." They got born again. Then he gave them instructions. He said, "Now here, listen, boys, everybody stick in Jerusalem, stay in the upper room until you are endued with power from on high." 50 days later, the Bible says, "And when the day of Pentecost came, suddenly there was a rushing power from heaven. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak in tongues." So Pentecost was fulfilled. Now watch this. Passover was fulfilled for everybody in Christ, but you had to experience it individually. John experienced it individually. Mary Magdalene experienced it individually. The remaining 11, you know, Judas was dead, you know, experienced it individually. And the 70. Pentecost was for everybody, was fulfilled as a feast, but then the individual has to now, by faith, come in and experience it. So the speaking in tongues is something that you have to experience individually. In the same way, tabernacles has to be experienced individually. Just like you experience Passover, just like you experience Pentecost, you're going to now experience tabernacles, this glory of God. You're going to experience it individually. This is a very important point. You know, people have this idea that it's just one mass movement. No. Yes, it's going to be a mass movement of individuals that have come into the experience. Hence this prophetic landmark message. Individually inheriting the double glory. Now, I'm going to give you a few things that are going to help you. The Bible says the sons of Issachar had understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. And I'm going to put a prophetic spin on that, you know, and expatiate it under the Holy Spirit. Not only what, why, and how. We'll not only tell you what Israel ought to do, we're going to tell you why Israel has to do it, then we're going to tell you how Israel has to do it. That's the apostolic dimension. Now, with that in the back, I want us to understand something. Oh, Lord, Holy Spirit, thank you for helping me. The Feast of Tabernacles has two major things that you're going to experience. The first one is the perfection of the love of God, the fruit of the Spirit. That's why it's called the Feast of Inga. In ancient Israel, they used to bring physical fruit. They will bring it at the end of the year for the harvest, when they harvest their crops. Then they will bring it to the house of God to honor God with it. They will bring the fruit of the ground. Today we're not dealing with physical fruit. We're dealing with the fruit of the Spirit. So the individual experience of the Feast of Tabernacles is experienced, or rather is brought about by the individual developing and perfecting the fruit of the Spirit. Everybody say love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, goodness, temperance, patience. You've got to practice. Water it every day. Practice, practice, practice makes perfect. And gradually the love of God will be perfected in your life. Another translation says it will run its full course. You start in the morning. Midday, you pray once every 6 hours. You find that so that in any circumstance you find yourself, you start behaving like God. Put that prayer up. There's a prayer I gave them. I want to put it. I haven't given it to the whole church. I've shared it with some people, you know, but I want to share it with us now. And I will write it down for us, you know, in some of the new editions we're going to do. But I want you to put this on the board. Pray this prayer at the start of every day, and every 6 hours led by Spirit. Now, next prayer, put it. Father, I confess our sins to clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, you know, to clean with the blood. Say, in Jesus' name we have life. Everybody say it after me. Say, in Jesus' name we have life. Father, fill my will, mind, emotions, body, and circumstances with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience. So I will think, speak, feel, and act like God in all circumstances. They didn't put the circumstances, they should put it. You keep practicing that. You're bringing in the harvest, the fruit of the Spirit. You know, another, you know, rendering says the fruit of Spirit is love. You know, all those other things, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, they are only components of love. Just like you have white light, you know, white light, you put it through a prism, you get all the other colors, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. It's called the spectrum. The love of God, when you break it into its components, you get joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, and patience. So the real philosophy is actually love. All those other things are just components of it. That's why you find that 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 to 8 is actually a list of the fruit of the Spirit. See how it starts. Love endures long and is patient and kind. So you see patience, you see kindness, you see long suffering. It's all there. Paul was just trying to show us how it operates in practice. But it's the fruit of the Spirit. Am I talking to anybody else? Now, God wants you to harvest that fruit. Harvest it. It's a Feast of Tabernacles. The second aspect of the Feast of Tabernacles, which goes right along with this, with the harvest of the fruit of the Spirit, is the power of the Spirit without measure. So, along with the fruit of the Spirit, you will now have the power of the Spirit without measure. That's the Spirit we see on Jesus. That's the Spirit that turns water to wine. That's the Spirit that walks on water. That's the Spirit that raises up the dead after 4 days. That is the Spirit that will give you your mental capacity like the sand of the seashore. When it begins to operate inside your soul. And God gave. Largeness of heart, breadth of mind is what's coming. But you can now see the wisdom of God. The fruit of the Spirit and love is a prerequisite. Otherwise, you will misuse the power. The power cannot be trusted only on people who have perfected the love of God. You can now understand why it's not a gift and it's a reward. Now, don't get discouraged. God, all of us are not going to perfect the love of God overnight. That's why God is going to give us borrowed anointing. And that's why even what Solomon had will be at entry level. If God could give Solomon that in the Old Testament, he can certainly trust you with that in the New Testament if you have started practicing, even if you have not yet perfected. Do you know that what Solomon had will still be a marvel to this generation? So it's a good starting point. Turn to your neighbor, say entry level. Hallelujah. Wow. Say it's a good starting point. Hallelujah. So you know what? God wants you now, start perfecting the love of God. Amen. You have not yet perfected, but you should be perfecting. Everybody, open your mouth. Say it after me. Say, I have not yet perfected, but I have started perfecting so that I can get the borrowed anointing.
Amen.
This is how this is going to work out. Ha! It reminds me of the scripture. Pastor G, honey. Ha! He that is feeble amongst them shall be like David. The house of David will be like God. Oh! The weak people in the church. The weakest people in Zion now, not the whole church. The weakest people in Zion will be like David, who gave birth to Solomon. So he that is feeble. He hasn't yet got the full thing, but he has started. The small one among you will be like David. And then the fully mature will be like God. If you can say amen, say amen.
Amen.
If you can say amen, say oh me.
Amen.
God help my unbelief.
Amen.
Ah, thank you, honey. A little one shall be like a thousand. And a small one, a small nation. You haven't got that yet. Put the brains of everybody in one nation together. In this, there are 15% operational, 10% operational states. Now put all that together. Do you understand? And then put it inside one man. A little one shall be as a nation. Notice he didn't put it in plural. He said that individual will be like a nation. Shall be a thousand, and a small one shall be a whole nation. Imagine somebody having the capacity of all the brains in America. Therefore will be fulfilled the scripture that God shall make a distinction between them that serve him and them that serve him not. You can now understand some scriptures where they will say, and the nations will come to you in chains, and they shall fall and make supplication and say, surely God is in thee. And the Lord will hasten it in his time. Why told you, Lord? They will see what is greater than them. Hence the scripture, greater is he that is. You see, the devil has been giving them revelation and all these funny spirits that have been coming to show them physics and maths and all of that. You know, they will now see that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world by reason of the glory that excelleth. I'll soon be done, don't worry.
I can see that some people are finding this. Jesus help me. Hallelujah. I don't think I can finish this thing today. I think I'm going to. But what I'm going to do today, in closing, I've told us what the double glory is, you know, and how it fits in with the feast, the fulfillment, individual fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. I wrote this down this morning as the Holy Spirit was upon me and gave me the pen to write. He said, you are going to see the glory of Solomon mixed with the purity of Joseph and the consecration of Daniel. I'll repeat it. The wisdom of Solomon. You know, Solomon had that wisdom, but he wasn't pure. That's why he's not going to give you until you start perfecting. And the perfecting of the Lord God. So imagine a man who has the wisdom of Solomon, then he has the purity of Joseph, and then he has the consecration of Daniel. That is the destiny of the end time generation. Let us pray. Stand up. Let's stop there for today. Turn to your neighbor. Don't miss church next week. Stand to your feet. Talk to God. Talk to God. I'll continue next week. We've just touched the what and a little bit of the why. We haven't even entered the how. So be here next week. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is not a day to miss church. You don't know when God will come to the temple. God told 500 people, over 500 people, to wait in the upper room. 380 got busy. I've married a wife. I have bought a piece of land. I've got a yoke of oxen. So when the glory came, they weren't there. Only 120 were there. So shall it be in this day. God is not a stupid God. When he tells you something, he's far more intelligent than you. He has seen the end from the beginning. There is no way he can explain details to you. Just obey. Because it's too complicated to tell you. So he says, let me tell you what he's saying. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, much the more so as you see the day. We're already in the season, no? Approaching. The day is approaching. Yeah, the season has come, Pastor G. But we haven't yet got the day. Nobody knows the day. It's something God keeps inside his heart. Not even Jesus. Says even the Son. So he doesn't know the day or the hour. And we know that from Cana of Galilee. That morning when Jesus woke up, he didn't know that was the day. He only went for a wedding to honor his mom and took some of the disciples along. What color Jeboni? Hello? It's true. They just went to have a nice time and eat and, you know, honor mommy and the relatives. The last thing on his mind was glory. And the Lord came suddenly to his temple. Don't miss church. I got another news for you. Even I, who am preaching, I don't know the day or the hour. So what I'm telling you, I'm telling myself. Everybody say, the wisdom of Solomon, the purity of Joseph, and the consecration of Daniel is my portion. Raise your hand. Talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. Life for children, all children in school. Ask God. Say, God, like you did for Daniel, like you did for Solomon, give me. You can ask for it. Christianity is more than just being morally good. There is that, and that's very important. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. That there has to be something on top of it that is more special.
Because even good unbelievers are good. I'm, you know, talking generally. Jesus said to the rich young ruler, he said, why do you call me good? He said, there is none good but God. And then he said, you know, don't commit adultery. The boy said, I've done all these things for my youth. Jesus said, yeah, you're right. There are a lot of people who are just, who can, you know, they're good, they help the poor, they do this, they do that, but they don't have the mind of Christ. That's what's going to make the distinction. That's when, surely God is in thee. For he that is feeble among us will be like David, and the house of David will be like God. Talk to God. We're going to pray in a minute. Next week we'll go into more detail on how you are going to inherit this double glory. Put that hand on that forehead. That's where, you see, this glory is not, the glory that is coming is going to be both in the body and in the mind. But the one of the mind is the one that is going to be really spectacular. It says, kings shall come to thy brightness, to thy light. Talking about Daniel, in Daniel chapter 5, the Bible says this. It says, there was a man in the kingdom of thy grandfather, in whom was the spirit of the holy gods. It says, and light and excellent wisdom. Now, when the Bible says light, he's not talking about this light here. He's talking about an excellent wisdom. Kings shall come to thy light. Thy excellent wisdom. Children, light, excellent wisdom. We're seeing the first fruits of it in life. What? This is our last resource. A whole class got what in our own time will be grade one distinction. Then we had about 14 or 15 children that had in our own time what would have been aggregate 6. They had A and A stars in above 7 subjects. Straight. It is a result that is unbelievable. It's light. Because mommy and the staff, they pray over them every day, like greater than Solomon. And the thing has started to affect their mind. God gave. We're all going to pray together now, but inside your heart, start telling, say, God, give me. I'm saying sincerely, God, give me the wisdom of Solomon, the purity of Joseph, and the consecration of Daniel. God, the wisdom of Solomon, God, give me. God gave the, in the Old Testament, can you imagine? Unregenerate men, Daniel was not born again. Solomon was not born again. You are born again. A greater than Solomon is here. Say, God, give me. And God giveth and upbraideth not.
As we are praying, I also want to ask God for an inquiring mind. Lord, give me an inquiring mind. A mind that does not give up easily. You know, the greatest problems of us in Africa is when we see a problem, instead of asking God for how to walk through that problem and solve it, we look for shortcuts to go around that problem, and the problem remains unsolved. For this generation, that God, the 42nd generation, must have an inquiring mind that makes the Lord instruct them in the night season. It's an inquiring mind that comes unto the Lord with a cry, and the answer comes in the night seasons. do this, do that. Myriads of ways of, don't say that is how we normally do it. That is, can it not be done better? When you see a problem, take it to the Lord. Lord, can this thing be done in a better way? Open my eyes. Many of Einstein's and all the people that were pioneers and inventors is because they dared to want to solve a problem. Life for Children. That was how tangent equation came. Turn tangency. Turning.
Tons tangent. Tons. Tony
Ogusoya. That was how turn tangency came. There were many in the class that were given that same question. And the boy began to ask himself. There was already an established way, an equation of answering the question. But the boy began to ask, is there no other way? Is there no better? Even the teacher did not know that there was a better way. And in inquiring, went to another higher student, and they came up with an equation that never existed before, that is patent in the name of the boy and the school, called tangency equation in mathematics. God is telling us it is possible. But what did this child do? He did dare to ask. Many things are happening. There were schools before Life Fought. Brethren, schools existed before Life Fought. But I dared to ask myself a question. There are people like me who are Christians and do not want to go and mortgage our children's destiny to international school that don't call Jesus as Lord. Why don't God give us great grace to make an international school of the highest standard so that children of Christians like us and many more can come now to the glory of God. People of all faiths are welcome, and the Lordship of Jesus is being propagated. Not only that, now we have our teachers becoming international examiners, markers of Cambridge, being invited to mark Cambridge exam. That is only God that can. Ni Nigeria, in Ibadan, because we dared to ask a question, and we've never stopped asking a question. I always tell them, can it be done in another way? Inquiry mind. God instructs in the night. What are you? There are many things floating. Many unanswered problems with solutions floating in the air. All you just need to do is dare to ask. And I can guarantee you, because this is the season. Joseph is out of the prison. This is the season. God will give you answers. I have been to a workshop in America when I saw Asian children. I saw white children. I said, where are my black children? Who were there to answer questions to problems they noticed existed. And they are beginning to patent it. And Silicon Valley companies are beginning to buy the patency. Where are the black children? The Lord will have mercy on us. We need to hear more messages like this, because it is true. You have to ask yourself. Don't say that we've been sweeping and been sweeping. This is how we can it be swept in a different way. That was how vacuum cleaner came.
Hallelujah. I don't know how many of you know this. You know, there's a spin-off from what Mommy said. I'm going to give you a scripture and then we're going to pray. You know,
They have robot vacuum cleaners now. The traditional vacuum cleaner was made was to suction and it goes into a bag. They have one now, it doesn't have any bag. I saw it in England, America, you know. Just push the thing on, it will just go around. It, the thing is inside it. It's a robot. Far more efficient than the traditional. So all this one, like, be using your hand and you be, you know, you just, you go and do some work on your computer, you put the thing on, cleans the house. Efficiency. Same vacuum cleaner, but a better way of doing it. Let's have inquiring minds. There's a scripture I want to give you because it just amplifies what Mommy Sarah has just shared with us. It's Proverbs chapter 2. Quickly, everybody. We're going to pray it. We're going to all pray now. Proverbs chapter 2. Don't sit down. Put it on the board and look at verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. My son! If any, how many people are God's children here? It's not talking to unbelievers. It's talking to you and I. If you will receive my words and hide my commands with thee, which is love, you know, I'm not going to go into all that, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart unto understanding. What mommy has just said, yay! If you do what? Cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for, if you seek her as silver and you search for her as hid treasures, then that's the consequence. You will understand the fear of the Lord. You will find the knowledge of God, for the Lord will give you. God gave solo. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth or his word cometh knowledge and understanding. Let us pray. Put one hand on your head. Raise your other hand to God. God giveth. But you have to have an inquiry. If thou Christ, you have to have an inquiry mind. You see, we're very passive about knowledge here. We don't care about, all we care about in Nigeria is money. Stupid fellow. The money that will finish. But wisdom doesn't end. Children, ask God for wisdom. Everybody do this now. Cry after. We're going to pray in tongues in a minute. But cry out. Say, God, give me wisdom. Give me understanding. Give me. That's what impressed God about Solomon. He said, ask what you want. Solomon didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for the life. He didn't ask for clothes. He didn't ask for horses. He said, God, I'm a child. I don't know how. Give thy servant an understanding mind, that I may be able to rule thy people Egypt. The Bible says, and the same pleased the Lord. And the Lord said, ah, the one you haven't asked for, I will give you. I want to say another very important thing here. Do you notice that Solomon's transformation was not gradual? It was instant. One night, he was the ordinary Solomon. The next night, he was Solomon with the mind of God. Talk to God. See, he wasn't the same Solomon. The Solomon that was anointed on the throne was not the Solomon that came after the dream and God gave him the wisdom. And it was in the night seasons. Okay, let's pray. Say, Father, Father, we confess our sins. And so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Oh, Father, Father, I thank you for this word of individually inheriting the double glory. The glory of the soul
of the mind, of the will, and of the emotions. My God! Like you gave Solomon, and even better. Like you gave Daniel, and even better. Come and give me an understanding heart. Give me wisdom. Give me knowledge. Give me understanding. Give me breath of mind. Like the sand at the seashore. I understand this is the entry level. Oh God, start me here. I promise you. I've already been doing it, but I'm going to do it better. Perfecting your love. So I will use this with the purity of Joseph and with the consecration of Daniel. In Jesus' name. Now pray. In Jesus' name. Just keep standing. We're going to share the grace in a minute and close. Just touch your body. I'm just going to release God's healing power into your body. It's essential to have good health and live long. To enjoy these things. This generation has a great destiny to fulfill. It's not going to be done in a week. It's not going to be done in 5 years. We're looking at, I really don't know, you know, because I don't know the day or the hour, but I certainly have an idea of the times and seasons. We're looking at 30, 40 years, if not more. So you've got to live long. And I don't care how old you are, whether you are 90, whether you are 10. I'm going to touch on that in my next message on Sunday. You got to live long. For it is your latter end that shall greatly increase. Touch that body. See, Heavenly Father, I confess our sins and clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. I release the life of God into my body, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And I say that life is medicine. It's medicine to all my flesh. I live in divine healing and health. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Kashuko for faith. Leprika tufinegas. Leprika tufinika tolos. Lambreka toros. Tolomashanga. Sefri. Lombakoma tolomatoloma tufredusushi. Tolomatoloma tufresh. Tolomatoloma tolomatoloma tufredusushi. Tolomakar tolomatoloma 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 tufre. Zofri. Zofri kaklamatoloma. Ambakoma tolomas tufre. Zofridia. Zofreka kakra. Shiki to Fridis, Zofridia Kara, Sufride la Matur, Tofrides, and Gatus to Fridolomashaka. In Jesus' name. We're going to share the benediction. Mommy, please come. I say that everything is getting clearer and clearer. You see, Passover and Pentecost is just a preparation for tabernacles. All things we learn, faith, you know, healing, prosperity, is just to prepare us for tabernacles.
and we thought it was an end. No, it's a means to an end. The end is tabernacles. It's tabernacles. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life, will God satisfy you and show you His salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor, so you have a wisdom greater than the wisdom of Solomon. You have the purity of Joseph and the consecration of Daniel. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. Have a great week.